I fear not the dark itself, but what may lurk within it. Welcome to Lurk, bringing you creepy, strange, and bone-chilling stories, with your host, Jamie Jackson.
Hey, lurkers, welcome to this week's episode. Before we get started, just a reminder that we are set up to be at the Wytheville, Virginia UFO Festival on Saturday, June 8th. And then the following Saturday, June 15th, we will be at the Sasquatch Saturday event in Sykesville, Maryland. So if you're in either of those areas during that time, stop by and say hello. This week, we are hitting the trail again and making our way through the New Jersey section of the Haunted Trail. If you're new to the podcast, the Haunted Trail is a series of stories about the paranormal happenings along the Appalachian National Scenic Trail. Paranormal, along with other creepy things like true crime, UFOs, aliens, cryptids, anything creepy and scary. The Appalachian National Scenic Trail is also called the Appalachian Trail, or simply just the AT, and it travels through 14 states on the east coast of the United States. Those who attempt to hike the entire 2,197.4 miles are called thru-hikers. Most thru-hikers start in the south, in the state of Georgia, and hike north to the northern terminus at Mount Katahdin. Because most are northbound thru-hikers, that's how we're traveling the trail here in these episodes. We've already covered Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Maryland, and Pennsylvania. If you haven't already listened to those, make sure you check them out. You don't need to listen to those first or follow them in order. Each episode stands on its own. There are 72.4 miles of the Appalachian Trail running through New Jersey. New Jersey is a surprise in that it is quite wild despite its close proximity to large cities. The elevation changes are moderate, going from basically flat to short, steep, and rocky. The first area of the trail runs through the Delaware Water Gap. According to the National Park Service website, the Delaware Water Gap is situated within the most densely populated region of the United States. It provides a unique opportunity to experience tranquil landscapes, rich human history, and striking scenery along 40 miles of the longest free-flowing river east of the Mississippi. Within the Delaware Water Gap roams a creature known as the Big Hoot, or the Woo-Woo. That's right, I said Woo-Woo. The Woo-Woo is described as a large bird that is seen in the area of the Kittatinny Mountain. It is described as a giant owl in the area and is referred to as Big Hoot or the Hooter, not to be confused with Hooters, which is totally different. One account said the creature looked like a tree until it flexed its small airplane-sized wings, and that was when she realized it was actually a giant owl camouflaged as a dead tree. On the second instance, the witness noticed that it had huge yellow legs with three toes on each foot. Prior to the Big Hoot, or Woo-Woo, making an appearance, there's said to be an eerie stillness to the woods, followed by loud hooting noises coming from the brush. Naturalists say the noise does not come from a human or any known bird in the area. New Jersey isn't the only place the Woo-Woo or Big Hoot is said to roam. Similar sightings have been noted in the Ohio Valley, as well as other areas of Appalachia. And let's not forget the famous Mothman of West Virginia, or the Owlman of Cornwall in the UK. Another creature in the area is known as the Messingwa, The Messingwa is actually from the Lenni Lenape tribe and is said to be a powerful, sacred medicine spirit who protects the animals of the forest. It's described as having a hairy body and a black and red face, and it makes strange hooting sounds. Messingwa is the Lenape mask spirit who maintains the balance of nature, appears to Lenape men in dreams, and is the focus of certain traditional Lenape religious rituals. Messingwa is usually depicted as a supernatural face with one half colored red and the other half colored black. Messingwa is the protector of all animals of the forest, but is most strongly associated with deer. Some Lenape people describe Messingwa as taking humanoid form and riding through the woods on the back of a deer, helping respectful hunters and punishing those who despoil the forest. Descendants of native people equate Messingwa to Bigfoot. They said Bigfoot is real, but the white men will never find his den or the place where he sleeps because he walks at will between the worlds. Messingwa ruled the game animals and presumably made them available or unavailable to the hunters according to whether he was pleased with them. The sign that he has been present is supposed to be a mix of several kinds of tracks, at a place where you see deer, raccoon, and fox tracks all together. Make sure you practice leave no trace whenever you're out hiking, but most especially when you're in the Messingwa's territory, to avoid his displeasure. The Delaware Water Gap has also been the scene of several UFO sightings. A witness known as Mrs. D had an interesting nighttime hobby that some people in the remote woods would indulge in. She would go out and spotlight deer, basically shining a flashlight into fields to pick up the eye shine of deer. It's kind of illegal. On one night when she was out spotlighting, around the last day of deer season in 1956, Mrs. D came upon two men dressed in shiny, silvery clothing, standing near the stakes that she had used to hold up her raspberry bushes. The stakes allowed Mrs. D to judge their height, quite accurately, which would put them about 3.5 feet tall. The men stood close together, arms at their sides. Then, September 19th in 1957, a flying saucer with a sphere-shaped tail was seen coming from the east through the night sky. After being seen by two residents of the Delaware Water Gap, the object quietly escaped to the north. In another instance, two witnesses reported strange lights in the sky around 9 p.m. The lights were extremely bright. The witnesses said the lights were about 3 miles from their location and were heading towards the Delaware Water Gap. They hovered over the area at one point, but then maneuvered away and eventually completely disappeared. In 2004, while camping in the Worthington State Forest, a gentleman and a friend witnessed a large object and an intense red light that appeared behind the object and illuminated it. The witness said, "The conditions were somewhat foggy, so when my friend woke up and stated that she thought she saw a shooting star, I was skeptical. But then we both saw 3 small white lights just above the horizon. We were camping on a rise above the Delaware River with the tent fly open and were looking almost directly across at the light. Then a bright red glow started to shine that was almost like a sunrise, and we saw the black solid body with a flat top, concave sides and a straight bottom that was longer than the top. The red glow clearly outlined this large structure. The glow pulsed and dimmed so that the object was lost in the haze. Then the light returned and we were able to again see the object. This happened 3 times over the next approximate 45 minutes. There was no sound or noise that we could hear. The object was stationary and did not move. After the 3rd time that the red light shone and dimmed, we did not see it again. In the morning, we estimated that this object was directly over the river, about 1,000 feet from our tent, and no more than 50 to 100 feet up. Another account reads, from 2018, "About 1 mile coming west of the toll, looking to your left at the mountain next to the river, over the treetops above the hiking trail, I observed a bright light or orb. When I looked, I saw the light was inside the craft, hovering above the mountain as it turned slowly. I could see the craft clear as day. It went over the trees toward the trails, then descended out of sight as I drove. I have camped at Worthington State Forest. It is a great place to camp. I did not see anything unusual. No big hoot, no messing wah, no UFOs. Just an awful lot of deer ticks. It was great. There are reports of a strange beast that fits the description of a dog man that has been seen along the New Jersey Trail. The creature has a large head with pointed ears and a long muzzle. Its torso and upper legs are heavily muscled, and it walked on its toe pads like a dog or a wolf. The witness estimated the creature was about 200 pounds and around 6 to 7 feet tall. We've covered similar dogmen, specifically in the episode about the Maryland cryptids, the canine edition. I think of them more like Hexenwolfs, similar to werewolves, except they aren't the result of a curse, but the result of a talisman or spell that allows the person to change into a wolf-like creature. If you're old, like me, and remember the old Disney movie The Shaggy Dog, where the ring turned the guy into a dog, that's basically what I'm talking about. But with, like, more bloodthirstiness and less floppy and lovable. Then there's a creature known as Big Red Eye. Big Red Eye is a Bigfoot-like creature that's seen in the area of the Delaware Water Gap. People hear strange moaning sounds and eerie screams, and it's not coming from anyone's back seat. The noises go on for an hour or two and are referred to as blood-curdling. Those that catch a glimpse of the creature say that it has piercing red eyes and is tall and shaggy. In February of 1975, a motorist driving near the town of Bear Swamp reported that he twice saw an enormous hairy humanoid cross the road in front of his car. A few weeks afterwards, a forest ranger walking along a Sussex County trail in High Point State Park reported seeing a creature about 8 feet tall with big red eyes. Retired forest ranger Tom Card heard a tremendously scary sound in the woods while at work back in the 1970s. He said he then saw two frightened rangers with guns running away from the area of the noise. He said, "When I first heard it, I thought it was a siren in the distance, but then I heard it again. I saw two guys running down the road, and I was like, this isn't good." Card said he doesn't know what it was and that they never went back to find out. "It was a wailing, howling kind of a scream kind of sound," Card added. They were a little unnerved because they had never heard anything like this either. In May of 1977, the New Jersey Herald ran a cover story about a family that was terrorized by the mysterious creature for over a week. Barbara Seitz, the matriarch of the family, reported seeing a creature 7 feet tall, covered with hair, had a beard and mustache, and walked on its hind feet. She related that she had gone out of the house early one morning to let her dairy herd into the pasture when she heard a sound in the distance that she described as like a woman screaming when she was being killed. She found her garage door torn from its hinges and 6 of the family's pet rabbits dead or mutilated. The next night, the Seitz family waited for whatever it was that had killed the rabbits to return. At around the same time as the previous night, it showed up, appearing under the light that lit up the yard. Seitz recounted, "At first, all I saw were two red eyes staring at me from over there. They fired upon the creature, but were unable to kill it. Whatever it was escaped through the apple orchard and into the woods." In 1982, a boy at camp was walking back to his assigned area at 9 p.m. before the 9:30 lights out. He was walking along the waterfront trail, where one side of the trail is dense woods. The boy began having a strange feeling that someone was walking in the woods parallel to him. He thought someone was pranking him. He heard a branch snap and the feeling of being watched and followed, and it never went away. The woods were very dense, yet whatever it was that was following him had no problem traversing the dense forest. He eventually saw a shape and movement and knew it was a large creature. He stopped and yelled at it, and the creature ran away. There is a 1996 witness account that says, "I knew it wasn't a bear. It was too lean and upright. It was humanoid. It had been there the whole time watching us approach. There was no noise. It must have been, otherwise we would have heard something that big crashing through all the underbrush. It was tall and shaggy with red eyes. The eyes were glowing red from the reflected light, not glowing like LED lights or something. It just stood there, motionless, arms dangling limply at its sides. It had no bad intent, it was just creepy. Then, of course, we ran and we did not look back. I don't care what anybody says, I know what I saw." That is something you don't forget. I definitely did not go back to that spot anytime soon. 5 other people saw a 9-foot creature walking upright and covered in shaggy gray hair. There was also a report that 2 hunters heard their dogs corner something in the swamp. When they found the dogs, they saw a creature that was half lying in the swamp. It stood on 2 legs and was approximately 6 feet tall. It was covered in brown hair and had a flat face, and the palms of its hands were hairless. The creature screamed at the dogs and began whacking the trunk of a tree loudly. The men went to the local state police, but when the men and the police returned, the creatures and the dogs were gone. The only thing in the area was a deer carcass. Big Red Eye, or Sasquatch, isn't the only thing roaming the Kittatinny Ridge. Along the ridge of the Kittatinny Mountains lived a German woman who was suspected of witchcraft. She was chased into the woods by the area settlers, and she died. Today, her ghost haunts the area. It's said hers is a noisy ghost that enjoys scaring those around. There's another similar story about a woman living alone on the ridge. Crazy Annie was a recluse that lived in a cabin near a lake. She was tormented by the locals, especially teenagers, because of her strangeness. Angry at having her privacy violated, she would chase people off with her axe. Someone ended up burning down her cabin, and she became disfigured from the fire. She wandered the woods, murdering anyone she found with her axe. If you listen at night, you can hear her ghost wailing through the woods. And that brings us to the legend of Tom Quick, the Indian Slayer. As a kid, Tom Quick spent more time with the Indians than his family, learning their language and how to hunt, fish, trap, and the ways of the forest. He nearly became an Indian himself. But as the French and Indian War loomed, the climate throughout the Delaware Valley began to grow unsettled. More settlers were encroaching on Indian lands, and it didn't take much coaxing on the part of the French to encourage the Native Americans to drive the settlers from their lands. The story is told that young Tom was out with his father and brother-in-law one day on some errand across the river when Tom's father was shot by an Indian. Young Tom and the brother-in-law tried to drag the older man, who was wounded, to safety, but he was dying and he commanded them to run for their lives. The 2 men then frantically made their way back across the frozen river. Tom paused after reaching the bank to see if they were being pursued, and he saw, to his horror, his now-dead father being scalped. Tom beat the murderer to death and continued to kill every Indian he came across. He buried the corpses in shallow graves, face down, so they would never again see the moon and stars. He would then return and scatter the bones. On his deathbed, he claimed to have killed 99 Indians and begged to have an old Indian who lived nearby brought to him for killing so he could claim an even 100. Needless to say, the Indian community hated and feared Tom Quick. When he did finally pass away, he was infected with smallpox. Supposedly, after his burial, Indians dug up his corpse, cut it into pieces, and distributed them as souvenirs. The recipients then contracted the disease. Thus, Tom Quick took more victims even after his death. It's said that he was haunted by 99 ghosts before his death, and after he died, those ghosts continued to roam and haunt the area. Along the ridge, there was a strange man who was fearful of ghosts and goblins and witches. The kids in the area taunted him, making strange noises outside his windows at night and stealing fruit from his orchards. He would complain ghosts and witches were bewitching him. When he died, his ghost began to haunt the kids who harassed him. The area around Upper Greenwood Lake is known for quite a bit of paranormal activity. There are stories about ghosts, strange creatures, gatherings of witches, Satanists, and the KKK. It's rumored that two brothers stumbled across a KKK meeting on the road near Cross Castle. They saw things they were not meant to see and barely made it out alive. Back in the 80s, one area allegedly served as a meeting spot for devil worshippers. Though, back in the 80s, there was a lot of satanic panic, so I really can't say how true that account is. There's also a ghost boy who hangs by the bridge. They say you can see his reflection instead of your own if you stare into the water. Legend also has it that if you throw coins into the water, the boy will throw them back at you. It's said if you lay a quarter on the yellow line at midnight, it will be returned by the ghost of the boy who drowned while swimming in the lake. His apparition is seen in the area, and some people report that the ghost pushes people into the water if they look over the side of the bridge. Back in 1983, a guy on a bicycle saw some vultures around a tree in the area, so of course he went to investigate. He discovered a garbage bag with a human head in it. The find led to the arrest of Mafia hitman Richard Iceman Kuklinski. There's also the ghost of a Camaro seen driving along the roads by the lake. It's driven by the ghost of a girl who was killed in an accident in 1988. In Wauwatosa State Park, hikers camping out came across two park rangers late one night. Later, they discovered that it was actually the ghost of two park rangers who died along the side of the road in 1939. People have seen their ghosts haunting the area. And last, but not least, is the story of the jungle habitat. Back in the 1970s, Warner Brothers had an African safari theme park in the area called Jungle Habitat. People could drive their cars through the fields full of lions, zebras, elephants, and kangaroos that were roaming free. Eventually, there was an accident when one visitor stopped his car and rolled down his window and was mauled by a lion. The park was closed in 1976, and since then, there have been reports of strange wild animals roaming the woods. There have been reports of monkeys, kangaroos, baboons, packs of wolves, and even lions roaming the hills. It was known that a pack of wolves, peacocks, and some baboons did escape while the park was open. How unnerving would it be to come across a band of wild baboons on the Appalachian Trail? Or a lion. That's going to do it for this episode. You can find Lurk wherever you listen to podcasts and at lurkpodcast.com, where you'll find episodes and links to our social media. Make sure you like and follow us on one of them. If you enjoy the podcast, tell a friend. And if you have a minute, we would really appreciate a 5-star review. And until next time, keep lurking.